Father, in our weakness, thank you for the great truths we've just been singing, that you are the one who is strong, always strong, who meets us in our weakness. And thank you for salvation that you provide in the Lord Jesus. You lift us up. You give us all that we need in your word to live for you day by day. And we pray that today, as we read this bit of the Bible, as we think about it together, even as we are doing that, you will be strengthening us to live for you in this week ahead. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's Joshua chapter 1, and I'm going to read it to us now. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I'm giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, towards the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. You shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And Joshua commanded the officers of the people, "Pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, prepare your provisions. For within 3 days you are to pass over this Jordan to go in to take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess. And to the Reubenites, the Gadites, the half-tribe of Manasseh," Joshua said, "remember the word that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, 'The Lord your God is providing you a place of rest and will give you this land. Your wives, your little ones, your livestock shall remain in the land that Moses gave you beyond the Jordan. But all the men of valor among you shall pass over armed before your brothers and shall help them until the Lord gives rest to your brothers as he has to you, and they also take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and shall possess it, the land that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan towards the sunrise." And they answered Joshua, "All that you've commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your commandment and disobeys your words, whatever you command him, shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous." I wonder what you think the Bible tells us to do most often. You might think that what it tells us to do most often is to, what the Bible tells us to do most often is to, be good, try harder, not sin, perhaps. But actually, the thing that Bible tells us to do more than any other thing is do not fear. It tells us that 366 times in the Bible. So that's once for every day of the year and twice on the days when you feel it, you need it a bit more. 366 times. And if you look down to our passage, chapter 1, verse 9, you'll see that's exactly what we're commanded here in chapter 1, verse 9. "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed?" Of course, all kinds of things make us frightened, don't they? For example, there's pogonophobia, which is fear of facial hair. Bathmophobia, which is fear of, stairs. Bogeyphobia, which is fear of, bogeymen. But for most people, I think we suffer from future phobia, fear of the future. In other words, what might happen to me in the dark? What might happen if the rats or the snakes got me? Sort of anticipatory anxiety. Actually, it's not really the future that we fear, is it? I mean, if we knew that the future was going to be all good, we wouldn't be frightened. Our fear is that we think the future is going to be all bad. There's some research done recently by the Prince's Trust that discovered that one in five young people, one in five, think that they're going to fail, think their life is going to amount to nothing. They think their future will be all bad. One in five. And maybe that's your future too. That your future, your fear is that it's all going to be dark. You fear it. You have future phobia. The story here in our passage, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, is that Moses has died. That's the story so far. You'll remember that God's people have come out of Egypt led by Moses. They've been there for bitter slavery for 400 years, and then Moses led them for 40 years out of Egypt to this point. They're poised on the border of a land that God has promised to them, and they're about to go to their new future. This is, if you like, the first day of the rest of their lives. Joshua is dead, verses 1 and 2, kind of makes that point over and over again, doesn't it? Joshua is to be the new leader. He's got big shoes to fill. I mean, imagine his future phobia as God speaks to him. And the Bible says to him, don't be frightened. Says it to him, says it to people like him, says it to us 366 times. It might sound a bit like you go to the doctor with a persistent cough and the GP tells you, stop it, will you? And you might be thinking, well, I would if I could. And if I could stop being frightened, I would. The other day, we were watching sort of channel hopping on the TV late night, never a good thing to do. And we ended up watching some Joanna Lumley on the Silk Road. And she got as far as Baku, which is the capital of Azerbaijan. And she got involved in a Muslim ceremony that was all very sort of weird and seemed to involve her having somebody doing this on her face and her body. And the ceremony was all to help her cope with her fears or overcome her fears. And basically, after having this person poking her all over, they then smashed a bottle, a glass bottle, immediately behind her back, which made her jump. And they said, that'll cure your fears. And it might sound as, well, as if this is not much better, but actually this is far better. This is how to front up to our fears. And the way to do it, according to our passage, is with some truths about God. What we're going to get today is some PPE, the complete hazmat suit to face the fear. Look again at verse 9. Have I not commanded, be strong and courageous, don't be frightened, don't be dismayed, for, and here comes the reason, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. What does it mean to say the Lord your God is with you wherever you go? I mean, this is not just a security blanket, you know, not just a kind of, I'm okay because I've got an imaginary friend. It's not sentimentality like that at all. Do you see what it says again in verse 9? God is saying he'll be with Joshua wherever he goes, and where he is to go, look back to verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and this people, into the land that I'm giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I've given to you, just as I promised Moses. So don't be frightened because, and here is my first kind of big headline for this morning, don't be frightened because God is keeping his promise to give the land. We can face our future. We don't need to fear our future, because we too can hear God's promises, not just about Joshua's future, but about our future. And the whole of Joshua chapter 1 is centered around this command in verse 9. And I think you're going to find this chapter is going to help us lots today with our fears. God is keeping his promise to give the land. And you'll notice, and it kept saying it again and again in this passage, that this is what God gives. He's giving it. Look again at verse 2. It's the land that I'm giving to them. Verse 6. You'll cause these people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give to them. And what God gives to them, verse 4, is this homeland from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, the great sea towards the very west, the going down of the sun. Now, it may not mean much to us, this geography. Maybe your geography is much better than mine. But for those of you whose geography is as bad as mine, this area is the whole of modern Israel, the whole of the Jordan, a large part of Saudi Arabia, half of Iraq, the whole of Lebanon, part of Syria, and the whole of Kuwait. And if that still doesn't mean anything to you, that's where the World Cup was. It's a massive area. This is an incredibly generous gift that God is saying that he's giving to them. And see again what it says in verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot will tread, I have given to you. It is a massive land. Verse 6, you'll cause this people to inherit the land. Verse 11, prepare your provisions, for in 3 days you're going to pass to take possession of the land. Verse 13, the Lord is providing a place of rest. He will give to you this land. Verse 14, right at the end of it. Verse 14, your wives, your little ones, the livestock shall remain in the land that Moses gave you. And all of this is to be your possession. This is God's gift, God's generous gift of land to you to be yours. God is keeping his promise to give land. I don't know whether you had that experience of somebody giving you a gift and it's been far more than you expect. And it's slightly embarrassing. It's sort of ridiculously generous. And they say, no, I said you I'd give you something. Here it is. This is exactly what God is doing. Now, why is this important to make this point that God is giving land to these people? Well, it's because 400 years previously to Abraham, this is exactly what God had said. Right back in Genesis chapter 12, it was his answer to human rebellion and sin in a messed up world, to wrong in the world. His answer to it was to make promises. And what he promised was people and place and blessing. And the people, of course, were the children of Israel, the Jewish nation. And the whole of the rest of the book of Genesis shows God fulfilling that promise. The place he promises was this very land, Canaan, that they are now poised to enter. And all the way from Exodus through to this point, God has been keeping that promise. And he's going to give to them in this new land blessing, endless blessing, just as he intended things to be. Now, that is exactly the gospel that we believe too. God has made us promises as well. Promised people, that's Christians. He's promised us a place, that's heaven. And he's promised us blessing in that place where everything is put right. What we've got in this story of Joshua is the story of God keeping his word. He said it, he does it. He promised land, he gives land. Now, just look a little bit closer at verse 13. And you'll see that what is promised here in verse 13 is not just land, but rest in the land. Rest is a big Bible word. It basically means when everything is as it should be. I remember when God finished creating 6 days of creation, he rested, not because he needed to put his feet up, you know, creating the world, it really taken it out of him. He needed a day off from doing it. But no, much more that God, like an artist, stands back at his completed work of art and says, that's it, I've finished, that's done now. I can put down my brushes. Rest is a place where things are as they should be. It's a place of enormous blessing. It's a place of rest and of peace after disruption and disturbance. And that's why in the Bible, rest comes to be used as a word for the new heaven and earth. What we're looking forward to is not an eternal retirement, you know, sitting on a cloud with a pipe and slippers forever. No, what we're looking forward to is everything put right, rest. So when we say that God is keeping his promise to give rest, what we're meaning is he's keeping that promise he made to Abraham. And we can say just as surely that God is keeping the promise that he makes to us in the gospel, the promise that we too will be taken to the place where everything is always good forever. God is keeping his promise to give land, to give a place of rest to his people. But here's the problem. We've been had before. We've believed promises and then people broke them. People let us down. You know, we even use that phrase, don't we? Promises, promises, as a way of saying, yeah, I know you're making promises, but we expect you to break them. When people say something, when we read something, something online, we're thinking, how much can you trust this? You know, how much of this is just spin? How much is this just your truth and it will never turn out to be my truth? We've learned the hard way, haven't we, that in life, when something seems too good to be true, it probably is. We've got this kind of stored up bank account of realism, you might say, or of cynicism, you might say. We've got remembrances, we've got disappointments to protect ourselves. So we say to ourselves, well, you know what happened last time you believed a promise like that? All your hopes were dashed and it came to nothing. And maybe deep down, that's the way we think about God and his promises. You know, it's more wishful thinking than dead cert. You say God is keeping his promise to provide rest for his people, and I'm thinking, well, give it time. We'll see, shall we? And so I'm left with my fear, aren't I? What will my future bring? Will God be true? Will he deliver? Now, I said that Joshua is going to help us today, and it will. And I want to show you how. Because the whole of the book of Joshua is about the land bit of God's promise. It's all about crossing into the land. It's all about taking the land by military conquest. It's all about dividing up the land. There are great long chapters about who gets which bit. It's all about keeping it, passing it on securely to the next generation. It's all about this land that God promised, that God swore he would give to his people, so that when you get to the end of the book, well, would you just turn on some verses in chapter 21? This is the only other time we're going to look at another bit of the Bible, but turn on to chapter 21, to some of what I think are some of the loveliest verses in the Bible. Comes after all the chapters of Joshua, of God's people, overcoming their enemies, taking the land, dividing it up, so they have a little bit for each family, so that, Joshua chapter 21, verse 43, thus the Lord gave to Israel all the land that he swore to give to their fathers. And they took possession of it, and they settled there, and the Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he'd sworn to their fathers. Not one of all their enemies had withstood them, for the Lord had given all their enemies into their hands. Not one word of all the good promises that the Lord had made to the house of Israel had failed. All came to pass. See what it says there? He gave land in verse 43. He gave rest in verse 44, just as he'd promised. Every single word of his promise came true. Not one word fell. Not one enemy stood. All came to pass. Do you get the point? Chapter 1, do you see, sets up the story. So that by the end, by chapter 21, we can say, God did it. God did keep every one of his promises. God kept his to give rest. And this book of Joshua is written by people to read later generations, people like us, to look back to this and have another account to answer our bank account of cynicism with. Look back to this and remember. You fear your future. You doubt God's goodness. You're not sure that God really will deliver on what he promises. You're afraid that your future will be dark. Well, remember this. God kept his promise to give rest. He did it against all the odds. He gave it just because he said he could. Well, let's come back to our passage and let's see what Joshua is to do with this truth that God keeps every one of his promises. And the same instruction is given to Joshua four times in our passage. Verse 6, be strong and courageous. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. And the very last words of the chapter, only be strong and courageous. Got the point? I've said it again and again and again. That God's people should be strong and courageous. And we can be, even with our future phobia, because God kept his promise. He makes them and he keeps the promises that he makes about our future. So what does it look like to be strong and courageous? I mean, if the book of Joshua is all about invading the land and settling in it and conquest of the land, you might think that to be strong and courageous basically means something like sharpen your sword and get ready for the fight. Be brave in battle, strategize, plan and plot, devise your attack plan. We've all seen war movies, haven't they, of those great big kind of tabletop maps and the generals standing around with long sticks, moving troops around and ships and army units and pushing the front line forward, being bold in battle. Is that what we're being told to do? I think that's what I assumed it was all about. You know, Joshua is afraid. And the message of chapter one is, come on, Joshua, man or mouse. Don't be a wimp, be a warrior. Up to the task, come on. But the point is, the land is God's provision. It's his gift, it's his promise. The Lord is the one who's supposed to be delivering the land to them. He promises it, and they receive it as his gift, received by faith alone. The New Testament says it was by faith that the walls of Jericho fell down. That's quite a thing, isn't it? What made the walls of Jericho fall? Faith. In other words, God said it, they believed it, it happened. It's exactly the same as how they got out of Egypt. God said it, they believed it, it happened. So verse 9, do not be frightened, do not be dismayed. Instead, verse 6, be strong and courageous. Verse 7, be strong and very courageous. How? Well, let's carry on reading in verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. The point here, being strong is linked to God's words. Can you see that? Be strong and courageous, beginning and end, and a bit in the middle is all about God's words. What is courage? Courage is meditating on God's word. not turning to the right or left away from God's word. We could say that the big headline instruction to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1 is be a man of the book, be a man of God's word written. If you continue to hold on to what God says, what he promises, if you always live by his word, if you let it fill your mind and your heart, if you meditate on it day and night, if you do it, verse 7, then in God's eyes, you are a strong person. You are a person of courage. Be strong. Be strong enough to live by God's word. Courage says, this is what God says. Oh, okay, I'll live by that then. He promises something. Well, I'm absolutely sure that's going to happen. It's said, isn't it, that nothing is certain in this world except death and taxes. Well, when you think about it, neither of those things are certain. We're not promised in the Bible that we will die before Jesus returns. And taxes get imposed by one government and repealed by the next. What God's promise is, that's sure. God commands something, well, I'll do it, of course. However countercultural it may be to do it, because I'm a man of the book. He says something, well, I'll read it, I'll fill my mind with it. That's what meditation is in the Bible, not emptying my mind, but filling my mind every day with Bible reminders. This is what God says. And this is what the true Christian is. The Christian is somebody who is utterly subservient to what the Bible says. It's a man of one book. Sorry, a person of one book. Now, I'm going to start with it. I'm going to live by it. I'm going to submit to it. The whole of my life is going to be driven by what God says. Now, as we're looking at this passage, you might find a question forming in your mind. It's a very good question. And the question goes something like this. This chapter is all about one man, Joshua. He's facing a very particular challenge. And this is all given to him at one very specific moment in history. And, well, I'm not Joshua. I haven't got Canaan in front of me and the walls of Jericho ahead. We want to be wary, don't we, about where we put ourselves into any Bible story, because the Bible's not a book about me. It's a book for me, but it's not a book about me. But here's the thing. In chapter 1, this book of the law in verse 8 is to put into Joshua's hands. Live by this. In chapters 23 and 24, right at the end of the book, that same book, that book of the law, is put into the hands of the people of God. And just as Joshua here is told to take it, to meditate on it, to do it, so at the end of the book, the whole people of God are told to read it and keep it and meditate on it. Just as Joshua is told not to be afraid, so are the people with the book in their hands. They too are to be strong. And of course, this is the same book given to us, to the whole people of God. So, can you hear the application to us today that God has kept his promise? God is keeping his promise, his promise to us of a good, secure, heavenly home. And holding to that word strengthens me for every fear. I can be sure that my future is not to be feared, but is good. Because God's promise to me is good. God is always with us. He never forsakes us, as his word never departs from us. It's now about 16 years since my father died. He was in his mid-90s when he died. He was a Christian, a strong Christian. He'd been a Christian worker all his life. And he had a strong personal faith in Jesus as his savior. Some of you might have heard me tell this story before of him in his last days in hospital declining. And I was with him for the last 3 or 4 days of his life. And we just wondered as a family towards the end whether he was kind of waiting for mum to give him permission to go, to let go. And we suggested to mum that she should say something to dad like that. And so she said to him these words. I don't know if she planned it beforehand or whether it just came out of her mouth on the spur of the moment, but brilliant words. She said to him, "You go on and enjoy yourself. I'll join you later." That brilliant line. My dad didn't die that night after she said that to him. But the next morning, he sat up in bed, gave mum a big kiss, put his head back on the pillow and stopped breathing. "You go on and enjoy yourself. I'll join you later." How could you have such confidence, such certainty? How could you walk even through the valley of the shadow of death and not fear the future? Well, only because you are holding firmly to what God has said in his word. You go on and enjoy yourself. I'm sure of what the future is for you, and I know I will come and join you there. Let's go back to the very start where we started this morning and revisit those many fears that weigh us down, whatever they might be. Health scares, maybe for some of us. Worries about our kids, what the future will be like for them. Maybe just fear about life in general. Maybe it's concern about our death or the death of loved ones. Maybe it's we're like Joshua and there's some new challenge that we're facing. There's so much to drag around with us. We all have some kind of future phobia, I reckon. So can I try and be really specific with some advice from the Bible this morning? When fears push their way into your brain, tell yourself this: God is keeping his promise to give rest. If you're his, then he's promised on his oath, he staked his reputation on this, that he will give me, that he will provide you with a heavenly home where everything is right. He's promised you rest forever. Restate this, retell this story to yourself. Don't be frightened, don't be dismayed, because the Bible shows me, the Bible story shows me that he's done this already for his people in the past. Not one word of all the good promises the Lord made has failed. All came to pass. He's already kept that picture of providing rest for his people. Of course he will do it for you. Of course he will do it again. So be a person of the book, a strong person, a courageous person, because you base your life on what God has said, the promises that he's made. Tell yourself, be strong and courageous. I'm sure of my God. I'm sure he will do what he said. I'm going to live my life by every promise of his word. I've been trying to preach this passage to myself this week. I've got a difficult meeting tomorrow morning. It's something that I fear. It's been keeping me awake at night, worrying about it. Put on the hazmat of what God has provided. Doesn't mean it's not going to be a difficult meeting. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. But we do know our end destination. And we can be absolutely sure that God will deliver on his promised plan. He will take us there. Rest is certain. And let that speak into your anticipatory anxiety, your future phobia. Let's pray together. Can you lead us in a prayer? Our Father God, we thank you for this chapter in the Bible. It's such a good message for us to hear. Thank you for speaking into our fears, whatever they may be. Thank you for this clear message to be strong and courageous. as we hold to what you say, as we base our lives on what you promise, as we never depart from your word, either to the right or the left. And we pray that that may strengthen every one of us for whatever lies ahead in this week or month or year. Whatever the future may bring to us, all the uncertainty that there is, all the things that cause us anxiety, please may we preach this message to ourselves. What you promise is certain. You promise us an eternal home of rest. May we cling to that, certain of that, whatever tomorrow may bring. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.